May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 29. Descend from heaven, celestial dove, with flames of pure seraphic love, our ravished breasts inspire, fountain of joy, blessed Paraclete, warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat, and set our souls on fire. Hymn number 29.
Thank you. From God's Word, we'll read the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, and the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 55. Ho, everyone, that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastius abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Almighty and holy Lord God, do grant unto us now that spirit of real prayer. Hear and answer the prayer of our opening hymn. Teach us for what to pray, and how, and since kind God, 'tis only thou, the throne of grace canst move. Pray thou for us, that we through faith may know the effects of Jesus' death, through faith which works by love. We come, Lord, in the evening hour of thy day. It's toward evening, the day is far spent, soon to be spent forever. We pray before this day slips into eternity, that thou wouldst come and reveal thyself unto us as a friend of sinners, as our friend, as our Saviour, as our great Shepherd, as our Sovereign Lord. Help us, Lord, to worship thee aright, to honour thy great and holy majesty, to give thanks for the remembrance of thy holiness, and to wait upon thy word. Lord, if we come aright, we come to meet with thee. We come to hear thee speak to us. Be not silent, Lord, but come and speak this night. Thou saidst, my sheep do hear my voice. Are we then sheep, Lord, of thy choice? Speak then, and bid our hearts rejoice, O speak to us. Speak to us a word in season, a word of almighty love and power, a word which will bless us and keep us from falling in the way. A word which will bring us to the feet of Jesus. A word that we will bless thee for in heaven above, in an ever-ending eternity to come. Keep Satan at bay, Lord. Pardon and forgive our every sin. Grant, Lord, that our thoughts and our words and our deeds may be held captive by thee. And let grace triumphant reign in our hearts. Pardon and forgive our every sin and lead us to that precious fountain of thy blood, Lord Jesus. Grant this night we may worship under that blood. May it flow into our hearts. That grace and mercy which flows from Calvary. Grant, Lord, to us that reconciliation, that we might be brought near unto God, that we may know his smile, we may receive his welcome, we may hear him whisper peace. Bless, we pray, this church and people. We commend them lovingly to thee. Bless thee, deacons of this cause, and help them in the office thou hast called them to and the responsibilities that they have. Help them, Lord, in the leadership of this church. Bless each member of this church. Bless them, Lord, in their church meetings. Bless them as they come to worship thee service by service. Give to them the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. May they be blessed together in the unity of Christ. May there be the bond of peace and love and fellowship and harmony and humility and grace between them. And bless them, Lord, at thy gracious command and invitation when month by month they meet around thy table to remember thy dying love. Remember us this evening, our Lord. Draw us to that table. May we find that thou hast gone before us and art already there. And could it please thee, Lord, to show to each one who sits around that table this night thy hands and thy feet, and may each be able to say, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my friend. Do help them, Lord, to grow in grace and in knowledge of thee. Keep Satan out. Fence this church, Lord, and protect it by thy almighty hand. For we know, Lord, that Satan would wreak havoc in each church of Christ if he could. But, Lord, may he be kept away from this church. And Lord, if it is thy will, may they grow in great in numbers also. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done in recent times. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst go on to be gracious. And again, open the pool of baptism here. And then, Lord, we pray for each member of this congregation. We ask thee, Lord, to give to them life, life, eternal life. Bless each with that thirst for thee. May they, by faith, be enabled to come to the waters and to drink of Christ and find that satisfaction in Christ. And find in him all their heart's desire. And grant, gracious God, in the day of judgment, that this may be a complete church and congregation united at thy right hand. May not one be left out when thou for thy sheep wilt come to call. What a favour and mercy, Lord, that would be. We pray, Lord, for those who are visiting here. We ask thy richest blessing to rest upon them also. And do bless them, Lord, in their daily lives and their various needs, in their sorrows and distresses and troubles and trials and tribulations, and also in their joys and successes and deliverances. Sanctify each pathway in life and draw them near to the Lord and nearer still. And may they know what it is to hold close communion with thee. And then, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst add to this people from this village and area those whom it is thy sovereign will to save through the preaching of thy holy word here. And grant, Lord, that there may be prosperity here, and that thy kingdom may come. Bless thy servants whom thou dost send to preach here. And grant thy help in the reading services also, and thy blessing in the Sabbath school week by week. And could it please thee, Lord, to grant a year of jubilee, a time of the singing of birds, when many hearts are opened by faith to know Christ as their own, and by faith to follow him in the way. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy church up and down this land, and throughout the whole world, as it gathers for worship today. Help thy servants to preach the word of God with liberty and with power. Help them, Lord, to exalt a precious Christ and lift him high upon the cross and the gospel pole, and to lay us the sinner low. Open each lips, Lord, and clothe with power each lips. And Lord, open the ears of each hearer. Lord, may there be power in the preaching, and may there be power in the hearing too. May there be much wrestling prayer, and in the various congregations worldwide, Lord, may thy church prove this day that God still hears and answers prayer, and he still blesses the house of Jacob. Come then, Lord, this night we beg. In thy risen power and glory, we thank thee for thy mercies, for all that flows through the precious name of Jesus Christ, in whose almighty name we now present our prayers. Amen.
Hymn 105. When I by faith my Maker see, in weakness and distress, brought down to that sad state for me, which angels can't express. Hymn 105.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to ask your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Apostle Paul, in that chapter we read this evening, writing under sentence of death to his son in the faith, Timothy, exhorted him to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. And I understand that the original definition of that word instant in the Greek, one of the definitions of it is urgent. We are commanded to be urgent in our preaching. And here we have why in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. Here is the inference. There will be a time when he can be sought but will not be found. There will be a time when he is not near. Eternity is before each and every one of us. And we none of us know how near. This was the last service that we were favoured to be in the Lord's earthly courts. How would we hear? If we knew that we had an appointment at the judgment seat this very week, as we may do, we can none of us assume that life will carry on as normal. What urgency would there be in the hearing? What urgency would there be in the preaching? If we were under the Spirit's influence, that desire to be right, that desire to be prepared, that desire for God to speak unto us the word of life and show unto us his great salvation. That is how we should come every service. Because each service could be our last. Eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. There's no more dreadful wound for a stranger to Jesus Christ than that word eternity. Death brings an end. All his hopes all his desires, all his dreams, all his plans, all his treasures. Then what's he got? Nothing before him but death, destruction, and despair. Nothing but condemnation from the eternal throne of the eternal God. Nothing but the eternal wrath of God. Nothing but seeking for pardon in hell and finding the Lord may not be found. Calling upon him but finding he is eternally far off and that he is banished from the favour of God. Leaving home forever. But for the believer, there's no sweeter sound than eternity. It is a home call. His treasure's in heaven. His Jesus is in heaven. His Father is in heaven. His home's in heaven. May we this evening be enabled to preach and to hear. With this great thought in mind, that one day, we know not how near or far it is, but one day, we must leave this temporary home we have on earth forever and stand before the judgment seat. And if by faith you are brought to that realization, then you'll know what it is to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What are you going to seek for? To be made ready. What are you going to seek for? Well, if the Lord works in your heart, you will know why you need to be made ready and prepared. Because you and I are poor, wretched sinners in the sight of God. We have done that which is wrong. And that's what the definition of the word wicked is in the next verse. It doesn't just mean those who this evening hour are literally in the prisons in this land, who have been convicted of serious crime. It does mean that, but it means something else too. If you and I have one proud thought, one rebellious thought, one unclean thought, one hard thought against God, one idol that we put in the place God should have, we are just as wicked as those who are in prison this evening hour. In fact, again, this word wicked in the Hebrew it means to be condemned by God. A under the holy law of God, as you and I stand in Adam, we stand condemned. That means that God, with the right that he has as God, has seen, has observed that we have violated his holy law. And because he's seen that evidence with his own eyes, he sees every sin you and I commit, he never takes his eyes off us. We are therefore condemned and liable to receive the punishment which is due for that wrongdoing. And the punishment for each and every sin is hell after death, separation from God, misery, despair, darkness, distress, loneliness. You're brought to this point where you are condemned in your own conscience. Then eternity will be a most tremendous sound to you, because you'll realize you cannot escape in and of yourself. It will be your one and your great need. Jesus, save me, or I die. Isaiah here likens it in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price, even today in the land of Israel. And in that part of our world where it is very hot, there are those who go about with jars of water up and down the streets of Jerusalem and other major cities. And then they cry, literally in the words of our text, come and drink. And any can drink, provided they first pay the price that water person decides. They pay their charge, and then they can have their drink. That's the illustration here which Isaiah is giving to his hearers. They knew what he meant. And just as water is needed to survive, and the hotter the climate, the more you need that water, the more vital you feel your need. And because you are alive, that thirst will not be quenched anywhere else until you receive that water. It's no good trying to quench it with money, is it? Or entertainment, or even lawful pleasures and pursuits. You know yourself, when you are thirsty, the only thing that will stop that thirst is water. It's vital. So it is, beloved friends, if your soul is alive unto God, you will know what it is to thirst after God. And it will be just as real when you are under the conviction of sin and feeling condemned to death, as if you were literally thirsting for water in a hot and barren land this evening. And to you this evening, who are under that condemnation. The Lord says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The mercy is he can be found. The mercy is that there are many here this evening who can testify to you that they have found him. Because he found them first. But seek ye the Lord and seek him in the right places. You aren't going to find him in the world. You aren't going to find him in the public house. On the sports field. Or the various other entertainments of the world. You are not going to find him if you are swallowed up completely with the lawful things of life. Where are you going to find him? On your knees in prayer as you are seeking him and asking him to reveal himself to you. Where are you going to find him? You're going to find him in his word, his precious book, which speaks to us of the way of salvation, of the way to heaven. Where are you going to find him? In his house, under the preaching of the word of God. That's where he'll be found. Seek ye the Lord. It's personal and it's vital. Someone is seeking something, they're searching for it. And if you search for something, you aren't satisfied until you find it. So don't just rest on your seeking. Keep seeking until you find. And the Lord's word to you this evening is the word he said when he was upon earth. Ask. And it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Go to God in prayer. Tell him all your need. Tell him all your case. It says here, call upon him. I mean, spread your knees before him. Tell him it all. Leave nothing out. Tell him how your sins distress you. Tell him how they burden you. Tell him how your wretched heart gets you down. Tell him you mourn your lack of fruit. Tell him you mourn your waywardness and your far offness from God. Tell him of the hardness of your heart. Tell him of how weak you feel. Tell him of how Satan so often opposes you. Tell him how you need his mercy more and more each day. Tell him how you need his pardoning love and merciful forgiveness. Tell him that you do not have a righteousness of your own that's worthy of the name. Tell him all. And then tell him your providential needs too. Bring them before him one by one. And plead the name of Jesus. Think not that he'll thy suit reject, nor scorn thy humble plea. He hears the groans of his elect and hates to put away. You say, but that's a problem. I do not know if I'm among the elect. Well, that's the way the elect come. It's only the elect who are brought truly and honestly to feel their need of a saviour. You know what the hymn says. So fallen is nature. Such her flaw, none come. except the Father draw. And one of the ways the Father draws is to show to you your need of a Saviour. And then to show you who that Saviour is. And bring you to see the suitability of Jesus Christ. That he is able to forgive your sin. He is able to supply your deepest need. He is able to relieve your every care. He is able to deliver you in your deepest burden and greatest distress. He is able. And he is an able and he is a willing Saviour. He delights to save. He loves it when he hears that sinner come. He receives sinners. He welcomes sinners. He forgives sinners. He saves sinners. And then he brings them into verse 7. Let us remember one thing. Jesus receives sinners. He never receives their sins. He doesn't save us for us then to carry on living a life of sin, careless and indifferent. He is not only the Saviour, he is also a King. You cannot know him as Saviour and not know him as King. There are many who want him to be Saviour. They want to be saved from hell. They do not want him as their King. But if he is brought, if you're brought to see him and trust in him and come to him as Saviour, you'll also be brought to see that he is your Sovereign Lord. Because the way his Holy Spirit works is a holy way. And therefore, if he is in you, if he is working in you, if he is guiding you, if he is influencing you, he will only lead you in holy ways. And therefore, if Christ has received you, there will be a change in your life. No longer will you be able to do those things that once you did when you were stranger to him, without there being a conflict. No longer will you be able to keep the same company as perhaps you once did. No longer will you be so swallowed up with the world that Christ means nothing to you. Now the world will take second place. Now the one thing needful will be Christ Jesus. And you'll learn. If you walk contrary to him, he'll walk contrary to you. If you go in the ways of the world, he'll withdraw. And you'll know his absence. You'll know his silence. You'll know what it is to be barren and unfruitful. And when you're in a spiritual, healthy condition, you'll mourn over that. And you'll seek the words of the hymn for that closer walk with God. But if you and I are going to walk with God, the only way God walks is in the way of holiness. In order for you and I to have fellowship with God, we will have to be brought to forsake our wicked ways, which we all have by nature, and our unrighteous thoughts. And all sin begins with a thought. That's the root. And only God and you know all your thoughts. but how many of them are unrighteous? How many of them are evil? How many of them are wrong? How many of them are God dishonoring? They're just as much sin as when you and I sin in word or deed and others can see. You need cleansing from the pollution and saving from the condemnation of your thoughts just as much as your words and deeds. And so we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will guard our thoughts. The psalmist said, "Keep the door of my lips," did he not? And what he was really praying was that the Lord would also keep him in his thoughts and guide him in his thoughts, that they may be God-honoring thoughts, Christ-exalting thoughts, humble thoughts that keep you in humility, loving thoughts over the Saviour, thoughts that make you realise that you're nothing, but Jesus Christ is everything. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If we stopped and considered even today, how many of our thoughts have been God-honoring? We had to separate the two as God has seen them. We would probably be shocked at just how much sin we have committed today without even realizing it. We need to confess the sin in our thoughts. We need to ask God, by his Holy Spirit, so to influence us and guard us and guide us aright. That our thoughts may be pleasing to him. The next verse, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord." But there's nothing wrong with his thoughts or his ways. Ask God then to give you that grace to fall under his thoughts and ways. We'll either fall under them or we'll fall out with them. But God will not change his mind. God will not change his thoughts, and God will not change his ways either to accommodate us. And when you are under the influence of God's grace, you would not want him to either. One of the fruits of grace is that you will love holiness, and you'll learn to love the thoughts of your Lord. You'll learn to love the ways of your Lord, and you'll learn to hate your own ways and your own thoughts and your own wretched heart. And you'll desire to draw nearer to Christ. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Sovereign mercy says return. It does not matter how far off you may have got off this, you may be this evening hour. Whether you be a child of God who has fallen and strayed and backslidden. We all do that from time to time. Or whether you are coming for the first time, whether your whole life has been a life of sin and disgrace and nothing else. The word this evening is to both sinner and saint. That saint who has already been called and that one who has been called now for the first time, return unto the Lord. Hosea tells us how we are to return. He says, return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, ye are our gods. That's what you're saying when you're trusting in your own righteousness, in your own good works. You're saying it's your God. You're relying upon it. You're worshipping it. You're making an idol of it. And it's an offense to God. We will say no more to the work of our hands, ye are gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And what is the answer that the Lord gives to that returning prodigal? Once so far off, doesn't matter how far off you may be. Doesn't matter how disgraceful you may have lived. Doesn't matter how much you may have dishonored the Lord. Here is his word to you this evening. As you are brought in humble submission to come in that well-trodden way, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's his word to you. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Let him return unto the Lord. And again, go into the Hebrew, one of the precious meanings of this word return is return home. Backsliding child of God, return home. Your home's not in this wilderness, is it? You've proved it. You haven't found rest unto your soul, have you, by following Satan and turning away from the pathway and following in those lustful, sinful ways? They entertained your flesh for a while, but where have they brought you? Barrenness, hardness, coldness, deadness, far off. The Lord says, return home. And it's where the Lord is that is home. It's where we intend you to be. His presence, his company, that's home. In all its fullness, it will be heaven. Heaven will be your home. But the way of holiness is where he will have you dwell as you journey homeward to heaven. The green pastures, the still waters, the sheepfold, the presence of the sheep, where the shepherd is. That's where he will have you be. Return unto the Lord. Return unto him. In humbleness of heart, in brokenness of heart, confessing your sin and unworthiness, And here is a promise, and he will have mercy upon you. Now, mercy is something you and I don't deserve. Mercy is God receiving you and not punishing you like you deserve, not turning you away, not rejecting you. That's mercy. And grace is when he gives you that which you do not deserve, when he puts you among the family. When he blesses you with his love and mercy and favour and kindness and compassion. When he gives you the Holy Ghost as a guide. When he clothes you in the robe of his righteousness. When he plunges you in the precious fountain of his blood. You will have mercy upon him. And again, the original Hebrew for the word mercy, I've never looked the word up before. But in the original Hebrew, it means this: a compassion, like a mother, tenders and cares for her defenseless child. You know, those are your parents. That love you have for your children. And no doubt some of you can remember when they were very young, how they were completely dependent upon you. You didn't care for them out of legal duty, did you? Wasn't a drudge. You had a love for them, a compassion for them, a care for them. And that governs your relationship with your children throughout your life, doesn't it? It doesn't end either when they grow up, does it? Although they get more independent, you still have that care for them in a way you don't have for those that are not your children. A bond has been formed. So you view your children in a different way to how you view anyone else. That's what this word mercy means. God, in compassion, looking upon this one. And we need to remember, it does not matter how experienced you may be in the Christian way, in the life of faith, we're always as defenseless infants. We are always completely and utterly and totally dependent upon God. We never, a believer never grows independent from God. But what a blessing if God views you like this. If he has mercy upon you, it's because he's your father. And that compassion, that kindness, that love he has for you, that bond which is unbreakable, is what constrains him to receive you, though you've done him wrong, to forgive you, to pardon you. It is this compassion that constrained God the Father to provide a Saviour, that constrained the Saviour to come and be that Saviour. And that constrains the Holy Spirit to reveal the Saviour to you. It is that compassion that gives you the grace. Grace to confess your sin. Grace to leave your sin. Grace to flee to the wounds of Jesus. Grace to trust in Christ. Grace to be humble. Grace to be forgiving of others. Grace to be honest. Grace to be prayerful. Grace to be submissive to the will of God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. He sees that one, and he has compassion upon that one. His eye has never been off that one. You turned your eyes off the Saviour. And you followed after that lust. But he didn't turn his eye off you. And now the time has come for him to have mercy upon you. It's that mercy that has brought you to your senses, that's brought you to see the barrenness of your heart and the worthlessness of what Satan has tempted you with. It is mercy that brings you to again have a thirst for Christ and a longing for Christ and a desire after Christ that he will be to you a shepherd, a high priest, a friend, an advocate, a saviour. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Margin reading here, it says multiply to pardon. He doesn't pardon grudgingly, reluctantly, reservedly. God gives a unreserved, full, free, irreversible pardon with all his heart for love's sake. For the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He has grace to pardon your iniquity. Amazing grace that abounds over sin, that conquers sin, that turns your heart away from sin. Turn your heart to Jesus. Seek ye the Lord then while he may be found. You can't seek him in vain. It is those who seek here in this time state who find this abundant pardon. You never seek, you will never know this pardon. And it's only in this time state that he has promised his pardon. Eternity will be too late. It is this pardon that you and I need to prepare us for that judgment seat to come. May he in mercy, sovereign mercy and compassion, draw us to him. Give us that thirst after him. Show unto us that abundant mercy, that abundant pardon, and that abundant grace which is reserved for poor sinners. In Jesus Christ. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. 1103.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day. Bless thy word unto us. Dismiss with thy blessing those who now depart. Take them under thy safe care and keeping. And grant, gracious God, that thy same blessing and care and keeping may abide with us, those who now at thy gracious command and invitation come to thy table to remember thy dying love, and those who will watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us now and forever. Amen.